Shalom, this is Rabbi Eli Rothberger from Young Israel Jose Clifton, continuing our Daf HaShavua Insights into the Daf series. Today's shir is on Meseches Chagiga Daf Hei. It's being learned Le'ili Nishmas from my father, Yosef Meir ben Chaim Kaufman, as well as Erez Naftali's father, Avram Shol ben Shulamit Salma, and the Neshamas should have Aliyahs. And the topic is going the distance, making Aliyah the Regel from the Galil, and it's going to be based on Daf Chaf Hei. So the Mishnah tells us in Daf Chaf Dalam Beis on the bottom, it's kind of like a parallel Mishnah to what we saw at the beginning of the Perek. In the beginning of the Perek, we listed 11 different milos that Kachim have over Truma. 11 cases where the Chachamim, according to most Rishonim, at least according to Rashi, we'll clarify that, that Chacham, according to Rashi, instituted chumras or stringencies on kachim over truma. And now we have the converse Mishnah, a case where we are more makil by kachim than we are by truma. And the Mishnah tells us in the beginning of, the Mishnah tells us that, again, when it comes to kachim, when it comes to yayin, wine, when it comes to shemen, when it comes to oil that's to be used for the Beis HaMikdash in the various menachos, the flour offerings that are mixed with oil, and the nesachim, the wine that was poured on the Mizbeach. The Mishnah says that in Yehuda we are mekil as far as the Am Haaretz is concerned, meaning if Am Haaretz from Yehuda brings yayin or shemen to the Beis HaMikdash for the purpose of being used for the communal karbanos, either the communal menachos or the communal nesachim. So then we assume that they did it in a state of tahara, that even though normally we view an Am Haaretz as being tameh, not being scrupulous in the laws of tumah and tahara, when it comes to the Beis HaMikdash, we make a kula, and we say that because of the seriousness of the Beis HaMikdash and because of their reverence for the Beis HaMikdash, they will go out of their way to make sure that what they're doing is tahar. But we say that doesn't apply for truma, assuming that all their truma oil and wine are tahar. The only time that we allow for that dispensation is bishas hagitos v'habadim, at the time that the season of pressing and the season, right, so gitos would be the pressing of the wine, badim would be the pressing of the oil, and even that the Gemara later on says it's only at the beginning of the season but not the end of the season. But as far as we see that as far as by kachim, you're definitely more makil by the wine and the oil of an Am Haaretz than we would be by the truma wine of an Am Haaretz. And the Gemara goes right off the bat. And the Gemara wants to ask a question. See, the Mishnah says that in the land of Yehuda, in the region of Yehuda, we have this kula. Well, there are other regions in Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara actually concedes that most of the regions, we don't have any other problem, meaning, as far as Yehuda is concerned, we could be Mekel, as far as the other regions, we can't. But there was one region, the region of the north, the region of the Galil, where there were many, many Talmid Chachamim who lived there. And the question the Mishnah wants to know is, why in the Galil would we not be Mekel? Yet many people living in there, many people who had reverence to the Beis HaMikdash, yet even many Amaratim there who had reverence to the Beis HaMikdash and would love to donate. The implication from our Mishnah is that only in Yehuda do we have this kula. We don't have this kula in the Galil. And the Gemara wants to know, what's the difference between the two? Why would we make a chiluk between the Amaratzim in the Galil and the Amaratzim in Yehuda? Would we say that there's a different quality of the Am Haaretz? One is more ignorant than the other. One is a little bit more or less scrupulous about Tumah than the other. And the Gemara quotes Reish Lakish. And the quote of Reish Lakish is going to tell us that it has absolutely nothing to do with the particular level of observance, the particular reverence or lack of reverence that the Am Haaretz had, that we view the Am Haaretzim as themselves are totally the same. It's not an internal reason, but rather it's an external reason, which is only prevalent in the communities of the Galil and not prevalent in the communities of Yehuda. And what is that reason? So the Reish Lakish quotes, "B'nei shel ritzua shel kusim mafsekes v'nehem," that you have a small strip of land belonging to the Kusim, we'll explain to who those are in a second, that is in between the region of the Galil, which is the north, and the region of Yehuda, since and the Beis HaMikdash happens to be in the region of Yehuda. So we say the following, because to get from the Galil through Yehuda, you have to cross this strip and you have to go through this Ritsua of land that belonged to the Kusim. So this land of the Kusim has a din of, this land of the Kusim has a din of Eretz Ha'amim, a land of the Goyim, and because this is the case, that would make the land Tameh. Who were these Kusim? So the Kusim were originally a group of people who lived up in the north. In Sefer Malachim, it tells a story about how they converted and became Jewish. Chazal later tell us that their conversions were rescinded because they were really considered to be Geri Arayos, fellow Geri Emes. Geri Arayos means they converted out of fear of being eaten by lions. Because there was some type of a plague going on, some type of a situation where they decided, you know what, if we convert, maybe we'll be saved from the lions coming and eating the people. And that's kind of what they did. And the Chachamim went ahead and took a little inspection to see what they're doing, and they found that they were really practicing idols, and they weren't really scrupulous in their observance of mitzvot. So what happened is, they rescinded their conversion, and it gave the land of the Kusim the status of Chutz La'aretz, or Eretz Ha'amim. And the idea is, Rashi mentions us, the reason why Eretz Ha'amim has a status of Tumah, because we're not sure, we're not sure about where they keep their graves. It's very possible that they dug a grave and they built over that area, and since we the Rabbanon can't walk over a grave, even of a non-Jew, that will make you Tame. So therefore, the Chacham instituted this idea of Tumah, or this state of Tumah, on Eretz Ha'amim. That would include all Chutz La'aretz lands, including America as well. Now what happens is, if a person wants to bring, let's go back to our case now, if a person from the Galil wants to go and bring Yayin and Shemen to the base of Mikdash, even if he is a Chaver of the Chaverim, he is the most scrupulous Chaver, and he wants very much to keep all the laws of Tahara, and he does, nonetheless, his wine and his Shemen are going to be rendered Tame, and the reason being, because they have to pass through this land, and because they have to pass through this land, gives them the status of Tumah, and it won't be allowed. So that's what the Gemara says. Now the Gemara happens to ask a question on this, and the Gemara says, well, I understand if it means actually taking the wine and carrying it. Okay, it will pass through. But there happens to be a way in Hilchos Tumah and Tahara that something could pass through and be impervious to the Tumah. And what are we talking about? We're talking about using the halacha of Ohel. And what do I mean by using the halacha of Ohel? So we have certain halachos when it comes to Ohel, where that if you put the wine and the shemen in a certain type of kli, the example, the first case that the Gemara gives, is a teva, shida, and a migdal. These are large, large receptacles. Big type of boxes and containers that can hold up to 40 saw. And these big, big, big containers are not the Kabbal Tumah. Mishnah and Kalim tells us that they're not the Kabbal Tumah. So we come up with the hypothesis, you know what, why can't the people of the Galil, the Amaratzim and the Tchaverim, why can't they just put their wine and shemen in these gigantic kalim and bring these, bring these gigantic kalim to the base of Mikdash and use them inside? So the Gemara says, the reason we can't is because our Mishnah was written following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi has a machlokas with another Tana, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, and the case that we are dealing with is something called an Ohel Zaruk. Okay, so let's take a step back. We say that a structure covered by a roof has a din of an Ohel. An Ohel is literally a tent. And when it comes to Tumah of Mason, if not only if you're either touching a dead body, but even if you're in the same room as a dead body, you are Mekabel Tumah, you are Tameh. I'm a Kabbal Tumah, you are Tameh. Pardon the misspeaking over there. And the reason is because the roof, and the room that you're in, will kind of make this one big space, and that will contain you within that Tumah. Now, it's not only limited to a roof, it could be limited to a tree, it could be limited to a branch, and so on and so on. Consequently, or conversely, we can also say the opposite. The opposite would be true too, that if a person is in a protected area, and they happen to pass through an area of Tameh, let's say something is in a certain type of box or a certain type of container, well, that container can serve as a, if that container itself is an Ohel, that container can serve as a chatzitza or a buffer between the Tumah and what's inside the box or what's inside the container is not going to be tame. One example of such a box is what we're talking about, Teva, Shida, and Migdal. There's another example called Tzamid Pasa, which the Gemara later on rejects as not a possibility in our Mishnah either. But let's get back to our case. We wanted to put the wine and the shemen into one of these giant containers, carry it from the Galil to Yehuda, even though it's passing through Eretz Bnei Amim, Eretz Akusim, which is a din of Eretz Ha'amim. We still say you can't because our Mishnah is following Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that this is not considered to be a good ohel, because this is what we call an ohel zaruk. An ohel zaruk is a transportable ohel. Now, what exactly does it mean? What exactly are these ramifications? So there happens to be a machlokas rishonim as to what we consider to be an ohel zaruk, or when do we consider it to be an ohel zaruk. Definitely it's something transportable. Definitely when the ohel itself is movable. The question is, when do we say and apply this din? So Rashi and our Tosfos over here tell us that the machlokas is only while the ohel is being moved and carried. Meaning, while you're moving the item in the ohel, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, Rabbi, will say it's an ohel zaruk and it's not going to work. And Rabbi Yosef Yehuda will say that, no, we would allow this to serve as an ohel. But if the thing is sitting on the ground and not moving, then it's not going to be mekabel tumah. So obviously in our case, since we're going to transport it, transporting it would be problematic. Now, what will be the nekuda machlok? Where are they arguing on? So they're arguing on the fact that we know the fact that if the oil is on the ground, it's not going to be an oil. That's what this says. It's not going to be an oil zaruk. That's what we're saying over here. So when you have somebody carrying the ohel, so let's say four people are carrying it. Each of them is walking. So the truth is, the ohel is in the air, but the people's feet are on the ground. So how are we viewing this? Are we saying that we're viewing and looking at the box itself, and the box itself is over the ground? Or do we say that, no, the box itself is connected to people who themselves are connected to the ground, and therefore we view it as if it's on the ground? That's the machlokas between Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Huda, and Rebbe. Nonetheless, our Mishnah follows Rebbe, who's going to see that this is not a problem. This is a problem, and we can't do it. So that's how Rashi and Tosos explain it. There's another day in Rishonim. This is the day of Rabbeinu Chananel. And Rabbeinu Chananel says that while the item is in transport, everybody agrees that an ohel zaruk is considered to be an ohel zaruk, and it's not good. The whole shiloh that we are dealing with is not while the item is in transport, but the shiloh will even be while the item is stationary. So that's a different way to look at whether ohel zaruk applies only when it's moving, or whether we say ohel zaruk applies even when it's on the ground. Either way, according to Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, it's not going to work. Because while they're carrying this item, either way you look at it, it's going to be considered to be an ohel zaruk. Actually, an interesting nafkamina between whether you say it's on the ground, whether it's an ohel zaruk or not, is brought down by the Taz, and that's, let's say you have a gigantic trunk of svarim, could a person sit on it? Well, if you're going to say the shayla of ohel zaruk applies only when it's moving, so then you could sit on it. If you're going to say the shayla of ohel zaruk applies even when it's stationary in the ground, then obviously you can't sit on it. And this, of course, led to a whole bunch of shaylas, which I'm not going to get into, but a whole bunch of shaylas about what happens when a kohen wants to travel on a train, and the train is going to be passing over a cemetery. There are different opinions as to this, and the Chazon Ish was generally machmir on this. Again, this whole shaila about ohel zaruk. So we've been talking about ohel zaruk and the fact that we don't have this option of bringing the yayin and shemen from the Galil to Yehuda, because it's going to pass through Eretz Ha'amim, and by passing through Eretz Ha'amim, it's going to become tummy. The question that's brought up in our Tosfos on Daf Chaf Hey and Aleph is, okay, I understand that we have an issue with the Yayin and the Shemen. But let's ask a bigger question. And the bigger question is, how then could anybody from the Galil make Aliyah L'Regel? We know there's a mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. Now, the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel means you're supposed to go to the Beis HaMikdash. If it means passing through Eretz Ha'amim, so it's very possible, not very possible, it's conceivable that you're going to be traveling through this Eretz Ha'amim, you're going to become Tamei, and by passing through this Eretz Ha'amim, you're going to be Tamei Meis. Tamei Meis is going to require 7 days of tahara. You have to sprinkle yourself with afer paraduma on the third day and on the seventh day. So how are people able to go and be olah l'regel? So it happens to be that the Turi Evin answers this question. And Turi Evin says, in Hachanami, you're absolutely correct. It would be problematic. So that means everybody from the Galil who wanted to be olah l'regel had to arrange their schedule so that they would have to show up 7 days early. And by showing up 7 days early, they would have to use Afer Paraduma, and they would have to go through a whole Tahara process. Now, that happens to be one answer that they go ahead and give. There is another answer brought down by the Rambam. And the Rambam is going to say, actually, we don't have to worry about this. This whole Shaila that they're bringing brought up in Tosos is not a Shaila. And why is it not a Shaila? Because the Rambam is going to hold that the Tumah that we are dealing with, the Rambam says they can actually go and travel in a Sheda Teva on Migdal, or on top of an animal, and that will allow a person to only be Mekabel Tumah, only become Tumah for 1 day, and being Tumah for 1 day, meaning this traveling through the Eretz HaKusim in a Sheda Teva Migdal, in other words, you're going over the ground, or you're going on an animal. So in this case, what we're going to say is that's going to take away the possibility of becoming Tumah for 7 days, and you're only going to be Tumah for 1 day. So, bottom line is, we have a machlokas between Tosos's question, or Tosos, which was answered up by the Turi Evin saying with like an inachanami, meaning, meh, it's going to cost you 7 days of Tumah, where the Rambam says it's only going to cost you 1 day of Tumah. So what is the machlokas between the two? So it happens to be that, I saw it brought down, that the sugya is not only addressed over here, the sugya is also addressed in Maseches Nazir. And over there, there are two understandings as to what is the Tumah of Eretz Ha'amim. Is the question of Tumas Eretz Ha'amim, is that we're worried about the Avir of Eretz Ha'amim, or are we worried about the Gush of Eretz Ha'amim? In other words, is it the fact that you're in Eretz Ha'amim, does that itself cause Tumah? Or is it in fact that standing over the ground in Eretz Ha'amim, that's going to cause Tumah? And as we mentioned in Rashi earlier before, we said in Rashi the problem was is that we don't know where people buried stuff. People buried their mason. So because of that, it's a possibility that by standing on the ground, you could be walking on a kever. So an explanation that this could be the machlokas between the Rambam and Tosos. The Rambam happens to hold that Tumas Avir is only for a day. So therefore, the issue that you're going to be having, I mean the Iker Tumah that we have, is Tumah of Gush, Tumah of the land, the stepping on the land. But Tumas Avir is only 1 day. So therefore, what could you do? If you can put yourself in a situation where you're going to be traveling overwards, but you're going to be not touching the land, even if you're going to be in an Ohel Zaruk. So in Ohel Zaruk, yes, that will cause Tumah, but only cause Tumah for 1 day. So you go, get there a day early, and you're going to be okay. Because the Rambam's going to hold, Tumas Avir is only going to be 1 day. Tumas Gush, stepping on the land and walking on the land, that would be 7 days. Very possible that Tosus would say that's not the case. Tosus would say that even Tumas Avir is going to be Metamir for 7 days. And that's why Tosus had the whole question, and that's why we had to give the, get the answer of, Terevin, which is an Inhakanami answer, that a person would become Tummy for 7 days and they have to get there earlier than that in order for them to become Tahar. So we see over here two different opinions, two ways of understanding Tumas Eretz Amim, bringing up a Nafkamina as how the people from the north made Aliyah L'Regel. And for further research, those who are interested, look into the Shaila about the modern-day Shaila, about how a Kohen, could a Kohen ride on a train or in a car that's going to be passing over a cemetery. Everybody have a wonderful week and stay well. Kol Tov.